We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are back live at SEC Media Days. It is the Capital One Orange Bowl Radio Tour presented by Duffy's Sports Grill, proud sponsor of local youth sports and partner of the Orange Bowl Youth Football Alliance and the Orange Bowl Festival. For more information and to find your favorite Duffy's Sports Grill, you can find them at duffysmvp.com. There is the air of anticipation as Nick Saban is making his way down Radio Row and truly ignoring every radio station. We're told that he's coming to see us, and we'll see if he actually stops or not, or if he walks on into the mall and tries to get some Auntie Anne's pretzels or something. But he may recognize you being a former player of his, but if he does stop by, Joe Zagacki, he begged us, please ask him some UM Alabama stuff. Yeah. So Zagacki will have it for the pregame show on September 4th. I got the email from Joe, but I'm going to bug him too. I want to see if I can get him to, I don't want him to walk away in a huff, but I want to try to ask questions that aren't football related and see maybe if
he swings on you.
Swing on me.
Okay.
Just to see. And here he comes now. You may recognize this guy, Crowder, sitting across from his former head coach.
Yes.
With the Miami Dolphins.
Living legend right
and
here.
And Florida Gator,
of course. Nick Saban is with us. So does Crowder make your Mount Rushmore of least favorite players of all time?
No, absolutely not. It was a he was probably a first-round draft pick, and because of his injury issues, we were lucky, very lucky, to be able to draft him in the third round and became an immediate starter and was really a good player for us for a couple of years and had a great career. So we're happy for him.
Coach, you still running base under roll, double seven, adjust the switch, triple clip, check hands?
Yeah, we're doing all that.
I remember you jam that into our heads. We can stop anything if y'all learn this damn call. I still remember that call.
And we did okay.
Yeah, we had a good defense. But
yeah, that second year, we were like third in the league in defense. If we wouldn't have had the quarterback issues, we'd have been really good.
Yes, sir.
Wait a second. We're talking about the same Crowder here. You're sure he's not on your Mount Rushmore of least favorite players that have ever played under you?
No, absolutely not.
He's not on the Mount Rushmore of players that have played under you. No,
anybody that can remember that call. For 15 years now, right?
Yes, sir.
15 years.
Was he able to produce on that call, though? That's the question.
Yeah, he produced. But the fact that he can remember just shows you how bright and what a good player he was.
Oh, I feel like I'm in an alternate universe here. Nick Saban is with us. The college football kickoff this year is the University of Alabama and the University of Miami. So what worries you about opening the college football season against the Miami Hurricanes?
Well, Miami has a really good team. I think they went 8-3 last year, got a lot of good players coming back, really good quarterback. Manny's done a great job there, and he's a good defensive coach. So this is going to be a very challenging game for us. When you win a national championship, you win because you had a lot of good players, a lot of good leadership, and we lost a lot of those guys, especially on offense. So a lot of opportunity for a lot of young guys, but how they respond early on will really determine, how well we can do against a very good Miami team.
And, Coach, with the turnover, you go back to Ruggs and Judy leaving and then Waddle and Devontae step right in. He wins the damn Heisman. Do you know if guys are going to be –
you know they're going to be good before you see him in a game? Do you have to see a guy with the quarterback situation you're in now, Mac leaving? Do you have to see a guy play before? Because I heard you giving some reporters hell a little earlier about, you know, putting Young on this pedestal already without him playing in the game.
Yeah, well, I think it's certain positions. You know, you really like to see guys because they can get their confidence can be affected so much. You know, quarterback's like a baseball pitcher. You know, you watch a baseball pitcher, some days no hitter, next day he can't get the ball over the plate. And I think quarterback's a lot that way. So if a guy can develop confidence, I think he can play well. I think when you see a wide receiver and the guy's explosive and fast and hard to cover and great hands, you kind of know that guy's time is going to come and that guy is going to have production and be a great player. But in some positions, I like to see guys go out there and do it. You know, offensive line is another area where, you know, guys got to work together. They got to be able to pass pro. They got to know what they're doing because every time they don't block somebody, somebody's going to get blowed up. All right, so we're inexperienced in that area too. So hopefully the quarterback will come through for us. We'll be able to build the offensive line. I think we'll be okay from a skill position standpoint, but those are critical positions on offense.
Nick Saban is with us. Do you like opening the college football season against a legendary football program like the University of Miami, especially with the quarterback, a younger quarterback? Do you like the spotlight that comes with that game, or would you rather ramp it up a little more slowly?
Well, I think it depends on the kind of team you have. I think if you have a young team, it's always good to have a game that you can sort of maybe ease your way into and ramp it up against a better opponent. But I think one of the things that's a real benefit of playing a good team early is your players have respect for that team. So the whole off-season program, spring practice, summer conditioning, everything that you do leading up to the season, you have their attention because they know they have to be ready to play in the first game.
And coach, what are you? I say it sounds crazy. What are you trying to prove? Like you're right now, I think you're the best college coach of all time. You've passed Bear, and you know all the numbers. You have plenty of trophies on the Lake House. I've seen all the video. I never got invited to the Lake House, coach. Just want to let you know. I'll give you my number if you want to.
I mean,
you
there's still time to right that wrong.
If you want a fishing buddy, coach, you know. But you have trophies everywhere, coach. You have all these awards, all these accolades. What drives you to get up 5 a.m.? What drives you to still set up defenses, still call base under 077 and just switch triple clip check?
Now you're just showing off.
Well, you know what, though? I think that all of us become very outcome-oriented, especially when you're an athlete, because it's all about winning a game. But I think when you're a coach and you really want to win because that's the competitive part of it, but you get a lot of positive self-gratification from developing, helping people develop, have a better chance to be more successful in life, see them get an education, see them graduate, see them go out and have success, see guys develop a career and be able to play at the next level. And every season and every team's a new challenge. All right, so if you don't think about the outcome and you just think about what do I have to do to get the outcome and you're looking ahead, you see the same challenge this year as you've seen 25 years ago, you know, the first year you were a head coach. Because that's what you have to develop on this team to get these players to play, to develop the chemistry on this team to get. So that challenge is something that, you know, I guess really kind of keeps me going. And the fact that I hate to lose doesn't hurt any.
Oh, I know, coach. And I wanted to ask you about the NIL stuff, the name, image, and likeness. From we all know what it is. What challenge does that add to you as a head coach?
Well, look, I think name, image, players have always been able to work.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, probably when you were back in Florida, they probably had a summer jobs program and you could have worked, you know, in the summertime if you chose to do that, or you could just work out and try to enhance your career. So players have always been able to work. This is just an opportunity for players to work. Now, when we started giving cost of attendance and guys could go on scholarship in the summertime and go to summer school and we could pay for it, less players worked. Now you're going to be able to do that, and this name, image, and likeness is going to create another opportunity for you to work. But the thing that it's going to create is everything in college football has always been equal and the same. Everybody's scholarship was the same. Everybody got the same amount of money for everything that they did. It's always been that way. It's not going to be that way anymore because some positions and some players are going to have a greater opportunity to create value for their brand than others. So it's not going to be the same. And there's no precedent for how's that going to impact your team. because these guys are not as mature. It's that way in pro football. I mean, yeah. You know that. I know that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers makes whatever he makes, 20-some million dollars a year, and has all kind of endorsements, and the right guard makes $1 million and has no endorsement. So it's always been that way in pro football, but you got older, more mature guys. And I'm hopeful that college players will be able to be mature enough about this that it won't impact their vision for what they want to accomplish, because developing a career as a football player is still going to be much more valuable than anything that they can do in name, image, and likeness for what you can make playing at the next level.
But you don't think it changes college football dramatically? That was the worry of some people, that somehow this will change the entire landscape of college football.
Well, it's going to change. I don't think it's going to change the entire landscape, but there's a lot of things that we're doing right now that's changing college football. You know, players transferring, I'm being immediately eligible. You know, this whole playoff thing where we're going to end up playing 17 games in a college football season. A lot of things that are changing college football, and what are the consequences of those things really going to be? And I don't think they're all going to be beneficial to the player, which is the most important thing to me. 17 games as a college player is not great for the player. You know, if people manage their rosters and get rid of their worst players so they can get better players to transfer someplace else, that's not good for players either. And we act like it's just freedom to go do what you want to do, but there's consequences for that. I certainly will never do that in our program, penalize a player. When we recruit a player, we're obligated to that player for his entire career, unless he doesn't want it to be that way. But that's not going to be how everybody does it, and that's not going to be good for players.
Nick Saban, is there anything you miss about Miami? This is my first time in Alabama.
Me?
So, besides Crowder, okay. Of course, this is my first time in Alabama, and I love Miami. What I have found in Alabama is I love Buc-ee's. You been to this Buc-ee's gas station thing?
Yeah.
It's good, right?
There's people travel to go to Buc-ee's.
Yeah. No, we did. We went 20 minutes out of the way. So, is there anything?
Yeah.
When I leave Alabama today, I will miss Buc-ee's. Is there anything specifically you miss about Miami?
Yeah, I mean, look, I really love Miami. What was frustrating to me when we didn't get the quarterback thing solved over the Drew Brees fiasco when I was there, and then, you know, we brought Dante Culpepper in, which is a good player, and his knee was bad, and he couldn't perform, and he couldn't play. It was so disheartening to me because we'd worked so hard to build this team that had a chance to be successful, and we had no quarterback. And because of that, we couldn't have success. And you only have so many windows where you can solve those problems in the NFL because of the salary cap and draft and who's available. People think you can pick who you want to pick in a draft in the NFL. You pick who's available when you pick. All right, that's different. All right, so you can't just readily solve all those problems. So when you have an opportunity to do it and you don't get it done, that's an issue. And, you know, I love college football, but I love a lot of things about Miami. The people were great. We lived in a great neighborhood in Fort Lauderdale. I really had a lot of great relationships with the players. Jason Taylor is still, you know, somebody that I'm very close to, who's coaching now too. And I don't know if you see Jason down there at St. Thomas. So a lot of good relationships and learned a lot, right, that has helped me be successful here at Alabama. But if you get around Alabama, you'll like Alabama. There's a lot of things to like about Alabama. We got great people
Buc-ee's.
Here.
Can you walk into a Buc-ee's, or you're way too famous that you could never just go in, go to the beef jerky wall, and get some jerky?
I don't know. Most of the time when I go in a store, it's not good.
I mean, like even right store. Now, even right now. I mean, we're surrounded by security, police officers, just lookers, right? So there's really, if you were to walk in the mall here and go to Auntie Anne's, you just couldn't do it.
Well, I could do it. But when I'm with Miss Terry, she stops and talks to every person she sees. I know that if you stay on the move, people won't stop you. Mm-hmm. But if you stop, it's like that's an invitation for me to walk up and say, can I get a picture or an autograph? And I'm glad to do that. All right, because I only have a problem when they're not asking. All right, that's the way I look at it. All right.
So if I came back.
But if I'm with Miss Terry and she's stopping and talking to everybody, I'm gonna get it. If I can stay on the move at Buc-ee's, I'll be fine.
So, but if I came back to Alabama, if I came back to Alabama and I said, Crowder, let's call Coach Saban and see if he wants to go to Bucky's with us. It would be an ordeal. You'd have to set stuff up in advance. You'd have to call security we couldn't just pick you up in the rental car.
But I wouldn't do that. If I was with you guys, we'd just go. All right, and that would be it. I don't go through all that. I only go through that because they're willing to do it.
So you would just go to Bucky's with us?
Yeah.
All right. And listen, I think we may have a reason to come back to Alabama.
And, Coach, and you're everybody knows your face. Is that worldwide? Like, if you go to California, if you go in, like, people walk up to you everywhere.
Yeah.
And you're cool with it.
Yeah.
On the way, I have to tell you the one story on the way. You bring up Terry, your beautiful wife, and she's a nice lady. She made us cookies. I remember her making us cookies. Huh. We were in that little bathroom at the Dolphin facility, and I wasn't supposed to be in there. I was supposed to be in meetings, but I was sneaking out playing on my phone, and you caught me. And you were at the urinal, and I walked past. And my only thought, I was like, if I say Terry, he can't be mad at me because he loves his wife. And I said, hey, Coach, how's Terry? And you took a pause. You looked back at me, and you said, she'll be a lot better if you can cover her back on third down. And wow. I thought you were going to look over and give me a smirk, and you just kept – you just there and looked it straight at the wall.
Can you confirm or deny that story?
That's true.
That sounds like you.
On both counts.
That sounds like you. Nick Saban, we are here in Birmingham, SEC Media Days. The 2021 Chick-fil-A kickoff game is the University of Alabama and the University of Miami. September 4th, we'll be here before you know it. We appreciate you making some time for us. And if you do want to go to Bucky's later, I am available, and I've got Crowder stories. I'm sure you've got a few yourself.
That's it. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you so much. Nick Saban. Yep.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.